Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. What is that from? I don't know what that's from.
Well, to me it sounded like
hey.
Yogi Bear. What's the other one? Yogi and
Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Hey Boo Boo.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Oh man, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
How you doing, girl? You wrapped up in the blanket over there?
Yeah, I didn't turn my AC down, so you know my closet stays cold.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just get into it right away.
No small talk.
You know, we should, because this case is really sad. We should probably do an icebreaker or something. Okay, here, I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
If you won the lottery, say it was $1
billion. Okay.
But you had to give it to somebody.
I couldn't keep any of it.
You can't keep any of it. You have to give it all away.
Does it have to be one person or can I split it?
One person.
Okay, so the question is who I would give it to?
Yeah, who would you give it to? They're listening.
I cannot make that decision. I have to think about it for about 3 days and then I'll
okay.
Maybe right. I'll tell you next week.
Okay. Think about it. Have a think. Because it's totally real.
Yeah.
And then let me know. Oh man. Okay, well, the ice has been broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a case tonight that is very sad. It's a missing persons case. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I don't want to say I hate covering these cases because, of course, we're here to do our thing, you know, and raise awareness.
Right.
But of course, like, you need your curiosity satisfied. And I know our listeners are the same way, but it really is all about the victims.
Yeah, you've got to bring awareness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're doing our part today to raise awareness and get this girl's name out there, get her story out there, and hopefully this family can find some closure. So I actually came across this case a few weeks ago when I was working on a different case. And I could not get it out of my mind. Like, the more I worked on this other case, the more I was like, I could not stop thinking about Sydney.
Hmm.
So, Sydney Caitlin West was born July 11th, 2001, to her loving parents, Jay and Kimberly West, in Walnut Creek, California. The family moved to Pleasanton, California when she was young, and she went on to attend Foothill High School, where she was the co-captain of the varsity volleyball team.
Oh, my kind of girl.
So, I know, exactly. But she wasn't just talented on the court, Lena.
Mm.
She wrote, recorded, and performed her own music.
Wow.
And her music is out there, so if you want to look it up, it's just Sydney West music, if you want to look it up.
Okay.
I listened to a lot of it, and I had chills.
Mm.
Just, she has such a beautiful, like, breathy quality
mm-hmm.
to her voice that you could just imagine would be on the Billboard charts. You could just imagine her having a very amazing music career, which was not exactly necessarily what she wanted to do. She was multi-talented because she didn't just excel at sports and writing music and having a beautiful voice. She also drew and painted.
Oh, wow.
She would do drawings for like coworkers or friends, family. And she was really good at that too. I mean, her dad said that she was always expressing herself in one way or another. She just was one of those people that could do absolutely anything.
Yeah, some people just get all the talent, I guess.
Some people just got it, you know?
Yeah.
So her family moved to Chapel Hill, North Carolina in 2017 while she was still in high school. And that sucked, you know?
Mm.
She left her team that she was so engrossed in. Yeah. She left her school, her friends behind. And the life that she had established in the place that she called home for her whole life was now in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. On the other side of the United States.
Exactly, exactly. And she was faced with starting all over. And to most teens, relocating from one coast to another, that would probably be the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know? But she transitioned really well. I mean, you've got this girl. She's got a great head on her shoulders. She made new friends, joined the volleyball team at her new school, which was Carrboro. I hope I'm saying that right. Carrboro High School. I wrote height school in my notes. I don't know why. And then she graduated from there. And in 2020, Sydney headed back to her home state to attend college at UC Berkeley.
Hmm.
So she wasn't just all of that. She was also all that plus a bag of chips.
Okay.
She was a smarty pants, got into UC Berkeley, and she was a go-getter. So she got there in the summer to take summer classes before the fall semester got into full swing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at this girl.
Yeah.
But do you remember 2020 at all? Yes. Toilet paper shortages. Point for,
yeah.
Taking your clothes off in the garage when you get back from the grocery store. Yeah, worldwide pandemic. So all of Sydney's classes were being conducted virtually. And online learning is not for everyone.
So did she stay in California at that point?
No, she did. Yes, she stayed in California. But it was becoming too difficult for her to excel in completing her classes because she had recently that summer suffered a concussion.
Oh.
And it was still really affecting her. In fact, her doctor said she wasn't to be having a lot of screen time. Mm. And so taking those online classes was really messing with her recovery. Oh, I mean, yeah. she wasn't finding it easy at all. So, you know, after talking to her family, she made the tough decision to defer her classes until the next fall. Like, give herself a good year to recover, you know.
Figure out the pandemic.
Exactly. She was going to do some open mic nights. Just enjoy her recovery. Just take it easy.
Yeah.
You know. But the other implications of the pandemic seem to also be getting to her as well. Being stuck in her dorm, being far from her family. You know, she was feeling really isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't just like a drive from her family. We're talking separate coast. But she stayed in Cali, like you asked. She ended up staying with family friends, actually, in the San Francisco Bay Area after she left Berkeley. And that's like about a 40-minute drive from the UC Berkeley campus.
Oh, okay.
So it seems like her plan, like I said, was just to recover there, take it easy, and then that way she would be close and she could just transition back without the moving process being such a task before school started. And she'd be close enough if, you know, maybe she could take a class here or there. I don't know exactly her plans were. But she wanted to stay in California. I mean, that's where she grew up. I don't blame her for wanting to be there. She'd go on walks and she'd go jogging. She'd frequent the Golden Gate Bridge and take pictures of the beautiful scenery, that's a bridge I've always wanted to see in person, because yeah. that bridge freaks me out. uh-huh. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just floating there. It has a lot of nostalgia. It does, but there's a lot of, well, you have Full House, of course. Yeah. but there's like a really long section of the bridge that's just floating in space to me.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so long. I'm like, how are you doing that?
When we used to cross the Mississippi Bridge going into Mississippi, I would like close my nose, like hold my nose closed it just in case we fell.
You
in.
Would. I remember that. That's so funny. And now I live in Charleston where there are only bridges, I feel like. So anyways, back to Sydney's story.
Yeah, sorry.
Sydney spoke to her dad September 29th of 2020. It was quite a long talk. He said it lasted a couple hours. It was one of those heart-to-heart, you know, just really digging into different things. You know, mm-hmm. they hadn't seen each other in a while. And it just got out of hand, I guess. They were just talking forever. And it was also one of, you know, he like expected to hear from her the following day because it was one of those phone calls that was like, well, this was great. Let's do it again sometime. So he thought, oh, she's going to call me soon. But he could have never known that that would be the last time he would speak to his daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
When he didn't hear from Sydney the following day, October 1st, he called her. And there was no answer. He called multiple times and got really worried. I mean, if my dad called me multiple times and I didn't answer, he would be like, okay. You know, I mean, my dad and I have one of those, like, we talk every once in a while, but we always pick up where we left off because we're both so busy.
Right.
But they had that relationship where he fully expected her to answer the phone or call him right back.
Yeah.
And a dad just knows, you know?
Yeah.
So he immediately contacted the Orange County Police Department in their hometown of North Carolina.
Hmm.
And he contacted the police department in San Francisco.
Hmm.
To report her missing.
Yeah. Let's just get it all out there.
Lena, two states, two jurisdictions. This, anyways. So they found through trying to figure out her last movements that she had used a rideshare service to get to Chrissy Field where she liked to work out. She liked, you know, to get there and walk around. The police questioned the driver and there was really nothing to indicate to them that they should consider him a suspect, and I'll get into more why. They said he or she, they didn't specify, but they said that this person was very cooperative and they felt there was nothing to that. According to people.com, her backpack was found near or on the Golden Gate Bridge. I've heard conflicting reports about the exact location about where the backpack was found. And to me, this stuff really matters, like the location and the manner in which it was found, because that might have a lot to do or tell us what might have happened. Like, was it placed gently against the railing, or like to suggest that she set it down for a second? Right. Or was it haphazardly tossed? Were things, you know, jostled?
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me the deets so I can solve the case.
Yeah.
October 2nd, the very next day, the San Francisco Police Department gave a press release? No, they gave a press release asking the public for help in locating Sydney. They said she was, quote, considered at risk due to depression, end quote. And the SFPD has since said that there was no suspected foul play, and they don't have any information to release right now, nor have they released any information since then. So
not everybody family, that goes missing is depressed. Let me just throw that out there.
I'm not sure what conversation the family had with the police department that led them to make such a bold statement. Mm-hmm. To me, if they told the police that she had depression or was experiencing depression, I feel like that is an element of her. Right. I don't think that they should have jumped on that and released that to the public. I think mm-hmm. that's kind of inappropriate. Especially since they're giving no other information.
Right.
Why are they choosing that information to give to the public?
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
Because people can just go off of that and say, oh, then she must have done something to herself.
Exactly.
And then they're not worried about somebody lurking, you know.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Well, the family decided to hire a PI, which I would too, when the police department seems to be washing their hands of your daughter's case. His name is Scott Dudek. I believe that's how it's pronounced. And he told Fox News Digital that there's CCTV footage of Sydney walking towards the Golden Gate Bridge. And it's eerie because she just disappears into the fog. She enters the bridge, walks into the dense fog, and she is gone.
What in the world?
Now, this video has not been released to the public. I haven't seen it. He's only described it, and I've seen it described in multiple locations, but it is not released. They said due to security reasons. I'm not sure what those reasons are. Respectfully, I feel like that video could really help.
Yeah.
I think that if someone saw their own self on that video and said, oh, I was there that day, you know, mm-hmm. like I saw her, I remember this. I feel like that video could really help. So I'm not sure why, like, what's on that video that's so important we have to withhold it. But because there was heavy fog that day, you can see her entering the fog, but you can't see her after that because the other cameras, like the other camera angles, were obstructed by the fog.
And so did she have her backpack or her bag on? Is that described?
So it is. She was last seen on that day, September 30th. 2020, mm-hmm. about 6:45 p.m. She was wearing dark leggings and a teal hoodie, Van sneakers that had like a tropical blue, like tropical pattern on them.
Mm-hmm.
Her hair was in a bun on the top of her head. And the reports say that she may have had a black backpack on her as she was walking on the Golden Gate Bridge. I don't know because I haven't seen the video, so they don't further explain why they say she may have. Maybe it was unclear from the video. I don't know if the teal hoodie she was wearing was dark or light, so I don't know why they say she may have.
Okay.
Maybe she had it in her hand or something, but I'll get more into the backpack. So there has been no activity on her social media accounts, no transactions in any of her bank accounts or credit cards since the day she was last seen, no activity on her cell phone, and her cell phone has never been found.
Interesting.
I really wish there was a way to ping a phone after it had died. You know what I mean?
Well, just by giving like the phone number or something.
Or, you know, we can ping phones, but once it's dead, you can't ping its location.
Oh, once it's dead, right.
But why? I mean, obviously, there needs to be a signal, there needs to be battery, but I feel like, you know those phones you can put together? Are they iPhones or are they Androids? You can put them together and you can give someone some of your charge on your battery.
Isn't that an iPhone? I don't know. I am not tech savvy.
I don't know. I've never done it. I have an iPhone, but I've never done that. So, in wireless charging, like, how is that? That feels like magic to me. So, why can't we ping a phone once the phone is dead? I feel like energy could be vibed, you know, through the times, signals guys. And the, I don't know. I'm not one of those tech people. Y'all figure it out, mm-hmm. but also pay me a royalty because it was my idea.
Right. Exactly.
Anyways, if we had that technology, wow. Can you imagine the cases that we could solve or make headway in, especially maybe we could find her phone.
Yeah.
Was it tossed over the bridge? Was it taken with her somewhere? I don't know. She left all of her stuff at the house she was living in. She didn't take her laptop. She didn't take her toiletries.
Well, because she was supposedly going to exercise, right?
Yeah. It just seemed like she was not planning to run off. So,
right.
You know, the theories that, oh, she took her backpack and maybe she was, you know, ran away, you know, that explains it. Mm-mm. She didn't run away. So what is so baffling to the family and their PI is that they talk about how busy it was that day on the bridge and the surrounding area. I can imagine it's always busy around that area. But according to the video on this day, it was bustling.
Oh.
There were people biking, walking, running. So what did they see?
Mm-hmm.
Did they see anything? It's hard. It's really hard to think that nobody could have any insight.
Right. I mean, so, surely they put out a message saying if you have seen or anything on the bridge that night. Okay.
And there have been tips. They just haven't amounted to anything. Gotcha. Like, people saw her. They just didn't know what happened to her. They didn't see anything. There have been some comments about a potential suicide. And those comments have not only hurt her family and friends, but, I mean, obviously the police came out and said they believe she was at risk of suicide because of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And their subsequent actions, or might I say inaction, suggests that they have made their mind up in her case. And they believe that it was suicide. Her concussion seems to also have become a factor in her disappearance, according to everybody else, because, you know, brain injuries could certainly lead someone to do something out of character or out of the norm. And that's why it's important to consider all options.
Yeah.
You know, she was feeling isolated. I can speak from experience. The pandemic has changed me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I still am reeling from aspects of that isolation. So I can imagine that maybe she was experiencing depression. Maybe she was. But guess what? Not everybody who's depressed is at risk for suicide.
Right. Well, and she just talked to her dad and they had a good conversation.
Exactly.
She was going to, it just, no, it doesn't
Nothing
make sense
to indicate that she was on the verge of breaking down or anything like that. You know, she had deferred school. She was very excited about college. You know, she was one of those people that was like us, you know, she's headed in a direction. She was motivated. She had a plan. And to have to make that, to be so self-aware, to say, look, I cannot succeed if I keep going in this way.
Right.
I need to slow down, take it easy. I want to achieve my goals, but I need to do it the right way. That was so mature of her.
Yeah.
She was 19 years old. Mm-hmm. How mature. And so she probably was struggling with feeling like she wasn't moving anywhere. She was staying still, you know? Yeah.
Well, and I mean, we have seen people that seem happy and
absolutely
everything's going for them. Robin Williams, Twitch. I mean, and then all of a sudden they're gone.
Exactly. You never really know. And it's hard to say, well, she had a great relationship with her family. They would have known. But look at Twitch. I mean, his wife, nobody close to him. I mean, he was the light of everybody's life. And he
posted
just
on social media every day something positive. And
nobody knew.
Yeah. So to me, we can't say that she wouldn't do that.
We can't say that. And nobody wants to believe that their loved one would choose to leave them or take their own life. We have to consider that as an option. But
we can't rule out that she's still out there and, you know, able to be found.
Right. Well, the more I got into this case and, you know, basically the minute I started researching this case, I was like, oh, they're saying it could be suicide. So that's, you know, maybe not appropriate for our forum. But the more it just nagged on me. I was like, no, I need to look at this further. You know, they say no foul play, and that's fine, but let me look further into it. There's one problem, actually a few problems, with the suicide theory.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the bridge was bustling with people that day. And at the time she was there, someone would have noticed someone climbing over the railing of the bridge.
Right.
That's, you know, there's people running by. If someone stopped and climbing over the bridge, there's cars driving by.
Yeah, somebody would have seen it.
And there's parks under the bridge. Someone would have seen a large object falling off of the bridge. That's not, and splash, you know? Yeah. That's not something that I don't feel like would go unnoticed. How could nobody have seen someone jumping off the bridge?
Yeah.
That's, I almost can't even get there in my mind. Now there's a path, like a sidewalk on either side of the bridge for pedestrians to walk the entire length of the bridge. There's a railing on each side. So one on the traffic side and one on the water side. However, those railings are not very tall. They're not dangerously low, but if you wanted to, you could just simply climb over
them.
That's
crazy. That is so crazy to me.
In fact, a man by the name of Kevin Hines jumped from the bridge and survived.
What?
And when he was interviewed and asked, why did you choose the bridge as the place where you wanted to take your own life? He said, because it was easy to climb over the railing. It was 4 foot, like 4 foot railing. He's like, I just backed up to the railing on the traffic side and I just ran and launched myself over the side and I jumped.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Luckily he's never attempted suicide since then. Mm-hmm. He got help and he's doing great.
Awesome.
But according to the LA Times, as of last year, 2022, there have been over 1,800 people that have died at the Golden Gate Bridge. Family members of the loved ones who have taken their own life pushed and pushed and pushed for a suicide deterrent for many years. Many years. So finally, in 2018, a project began to attach a net extending 20 feet out right under the ledge of the bridge to deter people from jumping. This safety net is draped over stainless steel beams, and it's about 20 feet below the sidewalk on either side of the bridge. and it would span nearly 2 miles of roadway.
Oh, okay.
So even if you thought you could jump past the net.
The net, yeah.
They've made it such that you could not, unless you were Usain Bolt. I don't know, is that his name?
That is very interesting.
Yeah, okay. Unless you were an absolute genie. Naysayers might pop up, and I know some naysayers are listening right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if someone wants to kill themselves, they'll just go somewhere else and do it. And maybe that's true. But according to a study conducted with 500 people who attempted to jump from the bridge but were stopped, 90% of them said they never attempted suicide again after receiving help. So that's massive. Yeah. You know, if we could stop that action, regardless of where it would or could or should take place, if we could put a deterrent there, you can see here, 500 lives have been saved. There's also a plaque at the entrance of the bridge with suicide crisis hotline information, which is, it just shows you how much of a problem it has been.
So sad.
And I mentioned this project began in 2018, and according to the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District, it was projected to be completed by the end of this year. I have not seen any information as to has it been completed or if it's still projected to be completed by the end of this year. And I don't know the progress.
Mm-hmm.
So considering this information, and I couldn't find details as to what areas of the bridge had been done by the year 2020, specifically at the time Sydney disappeared,
because I wish bag was found, like,
right. I wish we could know that, because yeah. Was there already a safety net under that portion of the bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Or largely from the ends, because I would assume, I'm not a civil engineer, but I would assume you would start the ends of the bridge and work your way in to lay the safety net, but maybe they started in the middle and worked their way out. I don't know.
Maybe the tallest tallest drop from the bridge. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. And I couldn't find their plan or what they decided to do, but that information is really important because was there already safety net lined from, you know, let's say a mile in?
Yeah.
Where was her bag found, to your point?
Right.
Because you would think she would, if she did jump, she sits her bag down and walks another mile and then jumps. No, she sits her bag down and jumps right there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So we need that information. I hope the family has already gone down that path. But I can't help but wonder if one thing had been different. What if she never suffered that concussion?
Mm-hmm.
She might have been at school that day. She might have been with her family. What if she didn't have that concussion and still went missing and the police were more invested in this case because there wasn't that compounding factor of, oh, she had a concussion. Maybe she did something rash. Maybe she was depressed. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Her family just wants answers, to be honest. They have entertained the idea of her taking her own life, but they cannot imagine a world, just like I can't, mm-hmm. in which no one would have seen a person jump off the bridge.
Right.
I mean, I just told you about that study of over, 500 people were interviewed. So people have been stopped from jumping.
Yeah.
People are stopped all the time. Someone would have seen her jump. I really believe that.
I'm sure you'll bring this up, but One question that I keep asking myself is, have they checked the water at all?
There was absolutely no reports of that.
That makes me so mad.
I looked at that too.
What?
Did they use sonar to see if the thing about it is, though, if she had jumped, her body would have turned up by now. I really yes. believe that. I mean, just think of Lacey Peterson. Her yeah. body was dumped in the San Francisco Bay
mm-hmm.
with cement blocks tied to her body.
Mm-hmm.
And her body washed up.
True.
Her and her unborn child's body washed up. You know, we find bodies all the time. They bloat, they float. Sorry to get graphic there, but that's the nature of it.
And so there's also no report about, like, any friendship or relationship with the people that she was
staying. She didn't have a boyfriend. She didn't have a boyfriend. She, you know, she was newly there, so she was staying with family and friends. She didn't really have a lot of, like,
new
close friends that she, yeah, exactly, in that area. Maybe she did, but there were no reports of that. There was no breakup. There was nothing. I mean, she didn't recently have a relationship. There was no date. There was nothing like that to indicate that this was somebody.
There's got to be somebody else other than her dad that she talked to. I mean, there's got to be a friend that had a talk with her that was like, oh, she said this one thing that made me think. I don't know.
But it seems that everybody is scratching their head, which makes me believe that she didn't jump.
Yeah.
There's something, I don't know, there's just, for a 19-year-old to be depressed, and we talked about Twitch earlier.
Yeah.
He was a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
Very controlled, very put together, poised. I can see him being able to hide something like that better than a 19-year-old girl.
That is a very good point.
And, you know, 19, you're still figuring it out, wearing your heart on your sleeve. I really feel like she might have given someone an indication, said something, like you said.
Yeah.
Said something incriminating that might have led someone to believe she was on the edge. They would accept this suicide theory if there was any evidence to suggest that that's what happened.
Right.
If there was anything at all. She loved her little sister. She had a little sister who just turned 12, I think. So she had a little sister that she adored. She had family, friends. They say she was looking forward to the future. She was looking forward to what life had in store for her.
Yeah.
She was writing music, you know, doing open mic nights. Her dad had signed her up for The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult for them to believe suicide when you look at all of those things taken together. Now, over the years, like I said, there have been tips, hundreds of tips, but nothing has amounted to anything. I wish I knew what kind of tips they were to share with you, like sightings, or, you know, were they just, oh, I saw her, or, oh, yeah, you know, I think I saw her, or she's in the background of my picture, or what have you. But there's no information about that. We cannot say, well, gosh, you know, she could be anywhere and lay her head on the pillow at night and forget all about her. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, if you visited the Golden Gate Bridge in 2020, or you know someone who did, ask them, what day were you there again? Were you there in September? And tell them about Sydney West.
Right.
Tell them or send them to our episode. They can learn more about her. Sometimes we don't even realize what we saw until we're triggered by something and we remember something. You know, like you drive by, you see a guy with a red hat and suddenly you remember 2 years ago,
or,
the guy with the red
hat.
I
saw a car stop next exactly. to a person. Right.
And I mentioned the Uber driver. I don't know if it's Uber or Lyft, but I mentioned the rideshare guy. They really believe she got out of that car because she's seen on that CCTV footage.
Yeah.
She takes her backpack. It's on or near or around the bridge. Yes, he could still be involved. I mean, I would say that's still a possibility. Just because she got out of the car doesn't mean he
didn't go
went
back
and parked and yeah, followed her or something.
Or did they keep watching the video, like maybe even hours later, to see if maybe she came back from that direction?
Like, she didn't. She disappeared into the fog, never to be seen again.
But like, how do they know? Did they keep watching the video to see if maybe she came back hours later? Like,
I guess. I mean, I guess, because there is so little information, especially from police. Now, the family has a website. It's findsydneywest.com. And it's actually where I got the bulk of my information for this episode. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying there's not a whole lot of information, because mm-hmm. the police are not, don't seem to be, you know, really thoroughly investigating here. Now, they have photos of her at multiple different ages. There's a picture of her family. She looks a lot like her parents. And she's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And she's one of those people that she's not just pretty, but it's what she's, like, exuding out. It's like her aura, her whole mm-hmm. aura is pretty.
She just got it going on.
She has it going on. So you can go there. They even have a printable flyer you can print out and post around town.
Oh,
if
wow.
if you want to help this family and you don't know what you can do and you're like, well, I don't know anybody. I literally know nobody who could have ever visited that bridge. Just print some of these out and maybe go stick them up at your, you know, donut shop or the coffee shop or whatever. You never know who might see it.
Hmm.
And if you'd like to learn more about Sydney and her family, you can visit that website that I just gave you, findsydneywest.com. There's also a Facebook, Find Sydney West. Her family is keeping her memory alive by posting family photos and messages to Sydney about how much they love her and miss her. Ugh.
I'm so sorry.
It's gut-wrenching. Now, let me give you a description of Sydney. Sydney West is a Caucasian female. We're posting pictures of her on our Instagram and Facebook pages. But she's Caucasian female. She was 19 at the time of her disappearance. She's 5'10" tall.
She's
and
tall.
Weighs about 130. Yeah, so she's tall and skinny. She has blonde hair, blue eyes. She has pierced ears, and she does require corrective lenses, so she could be wearing glasses. There is a $25,000 reward for any information leading to her whereabouts. So anyone with information about Sydney is asked to contact the private investigator, Scott Dudek, at 925-705-8328 or dudek.associates@gmail.com. I'll link that in the show notes as well. And judging by the lack of involvement in the case, I believe contacting the police might be a waste of time, but here's their number anyway.
Please try at least.
The San Francisco Police Department tip line is 415-575-4444. And by all means, contact the police. I do think that's important. But please also contact their PI, because if one of my loved ones was missing and the police weren't really doing what they should be doing, and I hired a PI, I would want him to have every single bit of information.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big or small.
Yeah, I'm sorry they are going through this, and I will say prayers for them.
Yes.
And everybody looking for her. Thank you, Candace, for bringing it to light and bringing awareness, because it's so important that we know the details so that we can look ourselves.
I know. I just wish I could fly to San Francisco right now and go to the Golden Gate Bridge. And like,
that would be so amazing to be able to have the resources to do that. Maybe one day
our podcast do with your winnings from the lottery. You could give it to somebody you trust, and then they could like give make a bank account for you to investigate all these cases. Oh, to be rich. Yeah. Can you imagine? I would fly there right now. Well, we've come to the end of our episode, Lena. And instead of leaving people with our usual outro, I want to leave you with something very, very special. Sydney's family has graciously given us permission to use some of her music in our episode. So I want to leave you with this song, I'll Never Love Again, covered by Sydney West.
So this is a song that I've been working on by Lady Gaga. It's called I'll Never Love Again, and it's from A Star Is Born. My dad actually signed me up for The Voice, like the TV show. So this is what I've chosen, and I think, you know, it could be a really cool experience. So I wanted to share this because I kind of felt like it was really good representation, you know, of my musical process. And like I said, it's pretty raw, but I just kind of wanted to, you know, give some more insight into that. So here we go. Wish that I could have said goodbye. I would have said what I wanted to. Maybe even cry for you. If I knew it would be the last time, I would have broke my heart in two. Trying to save a part of you. Don't wanna feel another touch. Don't wanna start another fire. Don't wanna know another kiss. No other name falling off my lips. Don't wanna give my heart away to another stranger. Lying in your arms, and I wanna pretend that it's not true. Oh, baby, that you're gone. 'Cause my world keeps turning and turning and turning, and I'm not moving on. Don't wanna feel another time. Another stranger. I'll never love again.